Or good morning, I should say, right? All right. Well, it's good to be back up here again. I know I'm not Eddie Sanders. Brother Eddie Sanders is supposed to be here to speak, but he had something come up with his family, so he's not able to make it today. Have you ever seen a grown man give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a duck? Not many people raise their hand right there. I remember this when I was about 8 or 9 years old. We had a pet duck, and the duck's name was Duck Duck. How original, right? Well, something happened to the duck, and he quit breathing. I remember looking over there, and my dad's got the duck by the beak and blowing air into his lungs. The duck lived. He revived the duck, you know, and I thought, wow, you know. Well, I'm not saying y'all are a bunch of ducks or quacks or anything like that. What I'm saying here is we have a revitalization going on. We are excited about the gospel, right? Enthusiasm for the gospel is the name of this lesson. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there's enthusiasm building here. If you look around, you see excitement. For me, it's always good to hear people say things about the Lake Norman Church of Christ. When I was up in Cary this week, the guy said, I hear there's good work going on there. That makes me feel good to be part of this body right here. Amen. This body right here who is loving God. And the evidence is being shown outward, okay? So as we come together, we're coming together as this group of believers. When we come into this building, we have to have that enthusiasm, that excitement for God, to be joyful, to be excited, to be hopeful. Look at the people around you. The work that can be done through us to impact the very community that we live in. We all have a great opportunity. We all have a great part in this. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know Ricardo read 12 through 20. Let's start off in verse 21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part shall suffer with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. You know, and I think about this, he talks about the hand, the foot, the eyes, and all this stuff. You know, I want to be the hand. I want to be the worker. I want to be the one going out and doing the things, getting my hands dirty. Or I want to be the feet. The feet, I'm in motion. I'm doing things for God. Or I want to be the eyes. I'm going to see when you need something. I'm going to see that you have a need in your life. I want to be the ears. I want to be able to listen to the problems that you're facing. I want to listen to the concerns that you have. I want to listen to the excitement that you have about the gospel, about preaching God's word. I want to hear those things. I want to have the heart of God. I want to be able to love those who are less than me. I want to be able to love those who are hurting, who are lost. I want to be able to love those that aren't lovable. We were all once, you know, in that situation. We weren't lovable. We were disgusting, right? I want to be the heart of God. So with all those parts I talk about now, we all match those parts. We all have those parts. We all have the opportunity to use those parts for the glory of God. So let's do that. Let's build upon this. Let's use what we have in this congregation. It's a powerful young congregation. It's like the little engine that could. You know, in comparison to some of the large congregations, we still have a will, we have a way, we have God on our side. So let's use that thing. Let's use Him. Turn over to chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. In verse 26 it says, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church." We have a responsibility for each one of us here to strengthen one another, to push each other to do a little bit better, to do a little bit more, to say, you can do these things. It's okay. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 27. Y'all have to excuse me. I've been put on prednisone this week, and I feel like I'm really more jittery than I normally am. So kind of hyped up here. Excited about the gospel. There we go. All right. Well, actually, we're going to start off in verse 27. Let's look at this. Look what Paul says about the labor for the church. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant. That means that each one of us have a part in this action that's going on here, this worship service. We're a servant of God. We come here to rejoice, to be excited, to be enthusiastic about what we're doing here. Singing songs of praise to him, prayer. By the commission God gave me, he says, to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. You are a Christian. And so as people coming here to visit with us, are they seeing that Christ-like attitude, that Christ-like person? Are they seeing that you're enthusiastic to be here, to be part of the work that's going on here? Do they see that in each one of us? See, we each have an individual part in worship, don't we? If we come in and with the doldrums, we don't want to be here attitude, that's going to show. But if we come in here with enthusiasm and excitement, as somebody visits us, we're able to go up and meet that person, to welcome them as Christ welcomed us. That's the strength of the body. Bless you. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start off in verse 14 here. He starts off, he says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel, also to you who are in Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel of righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's go back up and look at the very verse 15. Very strong word there for me, at least. It says, that is why I am so eager to preach the gospel. We each have that responsibility to be eager, to be excited, to be joyful that God has given us such a blessing. Jump over to verse 8. We're just going back a little bit here. It says, first I thank you, my God, through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at least by God's will, the way may be opened to me to come to you. And then he goes on, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We are encouraged by one another. This man right here encourages me in so many different ways, and he doesn't even realize it. But we need to do that. We need to build one another up, to push one another to do better, to step out of your comfort zone, to live a Christian life, to live worthy of what he's called you to do. All right, jump over to Romans chapter 12 now. We'll start off in verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of the faith God has given you. You know, sometimes we can get to the mindset that that person's not good enough, or they can't do those things in church. They're not worthy. Do we have that right to tell them that? No. We have the right to encourage them, to build them up, to show them how to do those things. And he goes on and he says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. I would say there's many of us here, right? And we form this one body. We have a part in the work that goes on here at Lake Norman. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the need of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be there in just a second. As the body of believers, as we come here each Sunday morning to worship, we're coming here to glorify God. And if we want to grow, it has to grow spiritually first. Because if we're growing spiritually, there's no number board up here that can hold that number that it's going to grow to. But it begins with us, the body. We have to show that love of Christ. We have to show that attitude. If they don't see us building one another up, they don't want to be a part of this, do they? They see us tear each other down, they don't want to be a part of it. But if we're here for the right reason, to serve God, to give Him all that we have, to love one another, that's a sticky situation right there. I've got to love you and I don't like you. But we're here to love one another. The evidence needs to be seen here in the church body. That's us. God has loved me. God has loved you. We just need to share that. Y'all are already in 1 Peter, aren't you? Start off in verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people. I can stop there. And he goes on, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We make that choice, didn't we? We made that choice to be part of this family. That you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God. That doesn't encourage you to move, to use your feet, to use your hands, to use your eyes, to use your ears, and to use your heart for the will of Him. I don't know what will. So if you want this church to grow, if you want God's church to grow, it's up to all of us. We've got exciting things going on here. We've got the new the deacon list that we're putting out. We're asking for men to step up and be deacons. That's exciting. We see men growing in that role. And then we have the preacher search committee. I'm excited about the possibilities. I'm not sure who the man is that's going to be able to fill that position. But I'm excited about it. I want to see where we're going. I want to see us working for God, working together for God. And so that's going to take each one of us. But when that man shows up to preach and to work here, yeah, we might think that's his job. Well, it's our job as the church to build that man up when he gets here, to make sure that he is successful just as we are successful. So that's the body. We have to be enthusiastic about God. Our enthusiasm about Him will be evident. So I challenge you with that. I challenge you with being stronger in your faith, to push one another, to encourage one another. We have that responsibility. I know this is a short lesson for a Sunday morning, but please forgive me. I probably rushed through it. But I hope you know that my love for you and this church, to see it grow is something, there's no words that can explain it. So this morning, there's going to be some of you who may not be Christians yet. You may not be part of this family. You may not be the foot, the hand, the eyes, the ears, or the heart. But you have that opportunity to become a child of His by hearing the Word of God, by believing, by confessing, and putting Him on in baptism. Now, there may be some of you here today that are needing a little bit of encouragement. You're needing that little prod, you know, that little cattle prod that gets you moving. You know, I'm ready to do some work. You know, we all can have that little prod in our side sometimes to get us going, to push us forward. You may need the help of the church. You may need the prayer of the church. So I challenge you this morning to come forward as we stand and sing. Amen.